Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for Dan Issel and Louis Ribot, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. This is Issel and Louis, ESPN 680, 105.7, and ESPN Louisville app. We appreciate you spending part of your morning with us. And as always, the first hour of the show, brought to you by KentuckyTourism.com. Louis, how are you, my man?
Daniel, there's three grade ones today. Let's go.
Racing at Belmont.
Racing at Belmont.
Four of the NBA championship tonight. The Belmont Stakes tomorrow. It doesn't get any better than that, does it?
We're living in this weather. I mean, we're living a dream. I have to say, my favorite thing this morning, so I'm getting the show sheet ready. Headline: Deion Sanders dismisses transfer portal concerns from Pitt coach. The Pitt coach, by the way, has coached over 100 games at Pitt. And our news, you don't matter. How about that? Oh, man. From Pitt coach. Oh, what a headline. That's great. Oh, Dan, how are you, man? I'm doing great.
I'm terrific. The first thing I checked this morning when I got up was if we're racing at Belmont. And as I predicted, Louie, it wasn't long after the show that on ESPN.com, one of the headlines, Belmont Stakes in Jeopardy.
It's amazing how quickly that air quality can go from you're going to die if you look at it to, okay, we're racing horses today.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Oh, man. Oh, okay.
Oh, right. The other thing I forgot.
Avery, do we sound okay today? Is there anything I need to adjust on my end?
It might be my end. I'm waiting to see if things adjust, like, if internet adjusts out a little bit, we may have to reset.
Got it, okay.
But we're going to give it another minute or two.
Got it. The old modulation end of things there.
In addition to the racing and the NBA playoffs, I forgot to tell you or to mention that we have three-star recruits visiting Kentucky. That's another big plus.
Super originals, three-star recruits. I mean, damn, it's just, you know, last place in the SEC women's basketball. I mean, it's all flying under. Yeah. They're just doing this. Losing at home to Vanderbilt in football. Oh, let's go. Oh, it's great. Oh, man. But no, doing well, Dan. Did you go to a baseball game last night?
No baseball last night.
Slowly starting to slow down. By the way, I got a direct message from our guy, Brandon. Now, we met Brandon at Churchill. He listens to the show every day, but he has to listen on delay because he's not allowed to listen at work.
Right.
And so he said he's actually been on a trip in South America this week, but listening when he can. And he noticed the trend of the week is whenever Louis starts to move on to another topic, Dan says, well, you know, with the Nuggets. Another thing about the Nuggets. And yeah, that's been our show most of the week.
Hey, you can't get enough Nuggets, man.
Sure it is, man.
What about the NBA championship?
Talk about the Nuggets, people. Oh, man, good stuff. We are Issel and Louis. It is a Friday. We made it. And Bobby V will have to have you after us. Fast Break Friday. And, of course, then First Replay will have the mixtape around 5:30 today. Avery, who's on the board for those folks?
That'll be James. James does Fridays now.
Little James, all right. Oh, man. Okay. Let's work on sound. Do you need us to reconnect, Amy? I'm getting a ton of texts here.
Yeah, I was about to message you guys. So you guys need to completely leave Gaggle.
Bye, Avery. Talk to you later.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
All right, let's try this again. Issel and Louis, take two. Happy Friday, everybody. We hope you're having a better Friday than we are right now. Louis, what are your texters saying? Is this any better?
The words sound terrible, get thrown around a lot these days, Dan, but our text line is no exception to that rule. Issel and Louis, we got you on there, and we'll hang out with you today. So, Dan, you were once a three-star recruit. What do you think has gone through their minds as they visit Cal Perry right now?
I have no clue.
I mean, if you were one of those guys, would you go to Kentucky?
Well, I guess it would depend on what my options were. If I was the big guy, what's his name? Cyril or something like that? Mm-hmm. If I was the big guy, I'd go. I don't see much competition for. Of course, he'd have to reclassify, and I don't think that's ever a really good idea. But it sounded like he was holding his own in the elite the OT, competition. Yeah. So, yeah. If I was him, I would. I don't know if I was one of these other guys, you know. But at some point, Louis, you've got to have some confidence in your own abilities. And, you know, if you're a three-star recruit and you think you're as good as some of these guys they've got there, sure, why not? I mean, you can't get much more exposure than playing at the University of Kentucky if you're going to play. If you're going there to sit on the bench just to add to their numbers, then I don't think that's a good decision.
Okay. I'm interested because it's one thing to say out loud, well, you need a blend of older players and freshmen, right? It's one thing for us to say that, and I think it's a common refrain amongst people that watched last year, and then you got to have that infusion of new talent. It's another thing to actually go do it, right? When Cal historically has made, you know, what seemed to be playing time promises to incoming freshmen, and so the idea that you're going to come in and you're probably not going to start has to be at the forefront of your mind when, if instead of going to Kentucky, you can go to XYZ other Power 6 school and actually start, you know, it looks a little more promising for those guys. But speaking of guys who will not be on campus, were you a little surprised that it looks like Chris Livingston had the landing spot?
Yes, and I would be real careful if I was Cliff and his people, because you know, I say it all the time, it's all right to lie around draft time. So I still think, I mean, he's not going to be a first-round pick. Is he?
I don't think so.
No. And so if he's not going to be a first-round pick, then he has made a huge mistake in not going back to Kentucky. Now, what you're alluding to, you sent me somebody tweeted out that he has canceled.
Right.
He had 7 workouts canceled or scheduled, and canceled them all because evidently somebody has promised him something. But if he's not going to be a first round pick, and I doubt seriously that he is, then he's making a mistake. But
it's
Louis,
gotta be a second round promise, right? I mean, it's got to be a second round promise, right? I mean, how does he fit? He doesn't fit in the first round at all.
No.
Boy.
No. Yeah. I'd be real careful about what teams are telling you at this time. So, but let's go back to Cal and Kentucky. Yeah, sure. I you were kind of in favor of going back to this all freshman thing.
I am.
Weren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, but if you read story this morning,
sure.
I mean, you know, since 2015. And he laid it out very well, I thought. Since 2015, It's the teams that have veterans that, you know, that have had some playing experience that are winning. It's not a one-off thing. I mean, you know, teams since 2015 have been winning with upperclassmen.
Fine. That is not ever how John Calipari has succeeded. I appreciate this article. He did a lot of work on this about, you know, what age of upperclassmen different players are. I'm not dealing with other teams. We're talking about Calipari leading UK basketball. That's what we're talking about. That's the only thing I can talk about in this case. And in this case, that's when he's been best. It's when he just goes and gets the very best guys and then figures it out. Those were his best teams. Now, they traditionally started on the defensive end. I think the real concern with this team is the defensive end, frankly. You try to figure out what they're going to do on defense. But if they buy in on defense and they have the athleticism that we've seen in some of the exhibition games and different things, then I think they'll be fine. But I'm of the opinion that coaches, especially as they get older, it's harder to change their stripes, Dan. And in my mind, Calipari's best work has always come when he's had the younger, more talented guys. Even when he had returning guys, they tended to be sophomores. And right. Those were the veterans for Cal for many years, yeah. Right?
So to but me, they were sophomores that had played.
Correct.
These two sophomores haven't seen the floor.
It is a problem for this year. I agree with you. But I also think he thought he was going to get Livingston back and, you know, someone wasn't, you know, a promise at 52nd overall wasn't going to sway him into the NBA draft, but he was very wrong about that.
I think he and the staff handled this thing very poorly.
I agree
because
with
that. He sat there waiting for Livingston and Oscar and maybe a few others to make their decision. And we, you know, we always want them to have an informed decision, to be educated on what's going on in the process. And they still went. I mean, Oscar Tshiebwe is never going to smell the NBA.
Sure.
And he still went.
Right.
And because
the most disturbing part is exactly what you're talking about right now.
Yeah. And the bad part about it, the way that this was mismanaged, was that because they were waiting on these decisions so that these boys would have informed decisions so that they could make the right choice, they lost out on several people that could have really helped. Hunter Dickinson being one, Johnson being another.
Sure.
So that's where I think this whole thing was badly mismanaged.
I do think, you know, you get one of these three-star guys on campus, you go get a grad transfer, and then you get one more guy out of the portal. It's 10 guys, and then at least you're dealing with a basketball team then, instead of whatever seven guys is.
I'll say this. If we're looking at a roster that includes somebody out of the portal at this point, some grad transfer at this point, and a couple of three-star recruits, it's going to be a long year.
We say that, but Cal plays 6, 7, 8 guys every year, Dan. It's not like he expands the roster out to 10, 12 guys. And we do this in the offseason. We assume that he's going to need 10, 12, 13 guys. He's going to play 6. He's going to play 7 guys. It's just what he does. And I remember you specifically this last season saying, hey, these are young guys. They can do 35 minutes a game. They don't need to have the depth like that in college. They have all these breaks during the game. They have all this stuff. And so, I mean, if we're of that opinion, then I would rather have the talented freshman and try to figure it out. I absolutely would. It would be like, you know, let's say U of L gets off to a slow start this year in basketball, and the fans all of a sudden demand that Coach Payne start getting really angry and animated in his press conferences. Guess what he's never going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Get really angry and animated in his press conferences.
No, that's not his personality.
And I think Cal trying to coach upperclassmen and put a team together that way just isn't what he's best at. I think this fall we're going to see what he's best at. Will it work? I don't know. But this at least gives him a chance to get back to what he's best at.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see. I mean,
let the cake bake about how good the team's going to be, but I also, number one, I don't think the roster's final, and number two, that again, I would just rather see him try this route than, well, they got the transfer from North Dakota State and we're going to build around that. No, I'd rather build around DJ Wagner. If
yeah, no, I get that. I get that. I just hope if this is the way we're going to go, I hope these freshmen are up to playing against teams that have the veteran rosters.
Sure.
I don't care how good these freshmen are. They're not going to be favored in any of these Gonzaga, Kansas, Duke, maybe North Carolina. I don't know. It looks like they're going the wrong direction. But, you know, these freshmen could be the best players in the country. And it's going to be rough. It's going to be a tough year.
I mean, he points out, too, and this is Mark Story in the Herald Leader. Last season's UK team had 262 career college starts entering the year. They lost 12 games and failed to make it out of the first weekend of the tourney. You know what? I'll go back to what used to work for Cal, because if that's the alternative, then who cares?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, who cares?
Yeah. Obviously they got farther than the first weekend, but Cal's won one championship. So it's not like, you know, he was totally successful using only freshmen.
Yeah, but they were making Final Fours. They had chances, Dan. I mean, compared to recently?
No, you're right about that.
I mean, at least they had chances back then. Yeah. I'd rather be, at least, you know, as a fan, I'd rather be talking second weekend and talking about the, you know, the chances to at least go to the Final Four than whatever the crap's been going on the last 3 years.
So. Hey, Louie, let me tell you about my friends at Berno's Pizza. There are 14 area locations in Kentuckiana. Great food, great drinks, and great people. Berno's has you covered for lunch or dinner, carry out, delivery, or dine in. Stop in at the original Berno's on Taylorsville Road. Berno's at Bowman Field. Say hi to our buddy there, Rob Moody. Yeah, it's that good. Berno's Pizza.
Why do you think Red Carpet Ready is not running in the Acorn today?
Who?
Red Carpet Ready.
Oh, no, she wasn't running in the Acorn. She was supposed to run yesterday in the Jersey Girl.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that filly. That's Rusty's filly, and she beat the horse that's going to be the favorite in the Acorn.
Yeah.
But also Red Carpet Ready is 3-for-3 at Churchill Downs.
Right.
And so what happened was when they moved, there was a race for her Sunday, I think, and when they moved the races from Churchill to Ellis, that took away her home court advantage, so Rusty shipped her up to run yesterday in the, I think it was called the Jersey Girl.
Got it.
And she would have been a big favorite in that race. But then they redo. He just said, what I read, it was Rusty said everything went wrong. First, they moved the races out of Churchill. Then he shipped her up to Belmont. And that race gets canceled. They redrew it for Sunday, and he just said, "Nah, there's too many bad signs here." He put her back on a van. She supposedly got to Churchill this morning. He said, "We'll be back for the victory ride." But
good,
you know, that's horse racing. You can train these jokers and point for a race, and then it doesn't fill or it overfills or. Or there's forest fires in Canada, but
why do you think they added half a furlong to the Acorn after running it at 70 for 70 years, 80 years at a mile? They're running it at a mile and a 16th.
I think, and you know, it's not that big a deal because it's still around one turn at Belmont. But you said it yesterday, Louis. I think the Acorn was just kind of a really nice race, a really nice Grade One race. On the Belmont undercard for years and years and years, and they want it to be the Kentucky Oaks of this weekend. They want it to be the Black Eyed Susan of this weekend. So, you know, to get those horses, I mean, you know, you have to have a longer distance. So, and also, not only did they add the extra 16th of a mile, they moved it to Friday.
Right.
And so I'm guessing that was their thinking in trying to make it, you know, the Philly counterpart to their big race on Saturday.
By the way, if you haven't seen it before, the Belmont Gold Cup is race 10 today. It is a full 2 miles on the turf at Belmont. So it's a fun one. Many of those horses running back after 2 weeks, Dan. Just
yeah, I saw that.
That'll be a fun one, actually. Four and up there. A little running 2 miles for 250. Get more money than that. Oh, man. All right, well, what's your prediction here? So, you know, two guys were on campus this week, the three stars. You know, seven guys total for the roster so far. Do they get those two guys and then, you know, go get one or two in the transfer portal and move on?
I guess. I mean, I don't see any other thing out there. Like I said, I'm, you know, Burks and what's his name, Joey Hart. They're the three-star prospects. I'm not very excited about that. I am excited about the big guy. He actually is a four-star, the big guy that's coming in. I would hope they'd at least talk him into reclassifying and joining the roster. Yeah, you know, I guess they're still in play for the guy from Creighton, but he, you know, he's kind of like a three-star.
I don't think the guy from Creighton's coming.
I mean, why would he come? Because you know those freshmen are going to play.
I mean, right. I agree.
Yeah, he's got to go someplace where he's going to start. And grad transfers, you know, and we're still I don't think Reeves coming back would be a great addition, but he's better than an empty locker, so I guess he could still come back.
Antonio Reeves is a good college basketball player. I don't know what happened in the last couple weeks. He's a good player.
He's a good shooter.
Okay.
He's a good shooter.
I mean, here's what's happening is everyone's telling me, oh, we can't just have freshmen. And then when a guy can come back that's got experience, oh, he's a good shooter. He's not good enough at anything else. I mean, what do people want? I at some point, you either take college basketball players or you don't. And the idea that you wouldn't want Antonio Reeves back on this lineup, I mean, good God, of course you want him back.
Well, yeah, but don't get carried away. You
I didn't call him Stephen Curry or something.
You said it has to start at the defensive end, and you know Antonio has a hard time guarding his shadow. So I think we got enough guys that can put the ball in the basket. That's why I'm excited about the big guy. I want to see somebody who can be physical in the paint. Somebody who can block shots, somebody who can rebound, somebody who can get an offensive rebound and put it back in the basket. That's what I want to see.
So the way you're talking about UK's lineup, you're of the opinion DJ Wagner should have gone to Louisville, right?
No.
Right? Wouldn't he be better off playing with a full complement of players? You know, some Dennis Evans, rim protector, you know, allow him to play a little more free on the perimeter there? What do you think?
No. He made the right choice.
Learn under Nolan Smith, become a great point guard, right?
He made the right choice.
A little red and black, huh? Inside Churchill Downs tonight. That's a lie because they'll be at Ellis Park, but 6-7 tonight.
Inside Ellis Park.
Inside Ellis Park tonight, 6-7 on ESPN 680, 105.7, and on the app, of course. Reds are visiting St. Louis this weekend, 7:45 pregame, 8 o'clock first pitch on ESPN 680, 105.7, and, of course, Heat Celtics. Tonight, all of our coverage over on 93.9. It is available on the app as well. Heat Celtics, 7:30.
Hey, Ron Burgundy.
Oh, my God. Heat Celtics.
Ron Burgundy is Heat Nuggets.
Heat Nuggets. Good Lord, I am Ron Burgundy. Even though those movies are not funny. On 93.9 and on the app as well. Lou City back in action tomorrow night. Come join me at the tailgate. But if you can't, they are playing Memphis Area Code FC. Jeff Milby. Casey Whitfield, pregame 7:45, kick at 8. All that on your flagship for Lou City, 680, 105.7, and on the app. Of course, Soccer City was last night, 6-7. I heard that driving around, Dan. They were talking women's soccer. Did you enjoy the show about women's soccer?
You know what? I had some other. I had.
Oh, Dan, did you miss this week?
Yeah, I had to hand wash some of my underwear, so I missed it.
Got it. You're not back into the silk undies again, are you?
Again?
Dan, I thought we talked about this. The 70s are over.
Hey, when you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike forest trails, paddle through clear waters, enjoy a horseback ride, or simply soak up the sights and sounds of nature. Looking for more thrills? Hop on a mountain bike, race through rapids, adventure deep underground, zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your summer getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
All right, welcome back in. Your favorite show for all things instrumental, taking you up until noon. We are Issel and Louis here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Of course, following us will be Fast Break Friday with Bobby V. And then after them, you'll get the mixtape with James Black and First Replay 3 to 6 here. We do it local 7 to 6 every weekday here on ESPN 680, 105.7. A little bit of talk about the Calipari roster. But I wanted to ask you, Dan, are you going to be following Kansas to any of their games in Mexico?
You're so cute. You're so cute. Now, I've been to Mexico City, and once was enough. I won't be going to the UK Houston basketball games. No.
Disappointed to hear that, Dan. I thought you would follow your man self anywhere. Ends of the earth, including Mexico City, but I guess that's just.
I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him in Chicago in November. That'll be enough.
Yeah. Oh man! So I think we're up to 8 dudes for the Indiana Derby. By the way.
Oh really? I haven't seen any of the probables.
Oh no! I'm talking about our group.
Oh, I thought you meant there were 8 horses running.
No, I don't care about the horses.
Eight? You need 8 people to do a 2-hour radio show?
Shh. They might hear you. Be quiet. Yeah, at least. If I needed 4 to do the Preakness shows, then yeah, we need 8 for Indiana. I mean, it's a much more prestigious race up there in Indiana.
I got you. I got you.
So you're not going to Mexico? It's disappointing.
No.
Are you surprised that the Pac-12 is looking to Mexico to expand their market? The Big 12. Excuse me.
Yeah, Big 12. No, because of what Mark Spears told us on Wednesday, and that is there are 30 million people in Mexico that subscribe to ESPN, and even more than that. Once you start getting into Central America, and I read in the article, Oklahoma, which of course is moving to the SEC, and Oklahoma State already have satellite campuses in Mexico, and there are like 4 or 5 Big 12 schools that are within 400 miles of Mexico. So no, I think it makes great sense for the Big 12.
There's also a history in Mexico. So in other countries, you know, if you And you know this, Dan, from basketball. If you try to describe the high school and college basketball experience to a European, for example, they're like, well, wait, when did the club teams take over?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they're so used to the club system and those sorts of things for, frankly, all of their sports. In Mexico, however, many of the professional teams were born out of university teams. So, like, La UNAM is one of the big teams, the Pumas, that are based in Mexico City. And they were born out of the university Nacional, essentially, of Mexico. And so I think there's a little bit more of a way that you could have cultural traction that way. Because, like, you know, I would go visit family in Belgium, and my cousin would say, hey, you know, for my kids, can you bring, you know, professional team baseball caps? Because it's hard for us to get baseball caps in Belgium. This is, you know, whatever. So I would bring them. But I would always bring a Michigan State one, and no one wanted it. Because they're like, I don't know what Michigan State is. I'm like, they just won the title like 2 years ago. They're like, what title? They don't care, right? It's not on their radar. But I think in Mexico, I think you could create that culture because it already exists.
Yeah,
that's a great
point. Yeah. No, I think it's pretty smart. I mean, you know, they're in third place right now. I mean, who knows what's going to happen to the Pac-12 and their TV deal? But they're in third place, the Big 12, behind the TV deals for the SEC and the Big 10. So, you know, you got to get creative. I thought it was a pretty smart move myself.
Yeah, so, I mean, even if you're getting into, you know, northern Mexico, like Monterrey is north, you know, and if you could even establish, you know, some traction in places like Monterrey, which has over 5 million people in its metro and is just south of Texas. I mean, that kind of stuff where you know, you can pick up even more, you know, really, I mean, the Big 12, if they're smart, right, uses Texas as their hard base, right, because there's so many freaking people in Texas.
Right.
In the same way that the Pac-12 losing the LA schools is such a massive loss because the Pac-12 needs to be based in California. That's where they need to have, you know, four of their teams absolutely in two major markets like LA and the Bay Area, just absolutely at the top of their sport. So to lose LA that way is really devastating. And while losing A&M in Texas is devastating, there are so many other big schools in Texas that you could still make, you know, a sizable part of that market up that way. But even, like I said, going into Monterey, going into Mexico City, it just seems like a natural extension, especially since it seems like there's a real appetite for American football in Mexico as well. And so if you could figure out a way to incorporate, you know, those folks. Because, I mean, I think it looks like, you know, the Cowboys have 1 million fans in Mexico City, something like that, a couple million. I mean, so that might be something you'd be able to do. So
yeah, and you know, the Colorado, University of Colorado to the Big 12 is getting more and more traction. And I would guess that, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but I would guess that Deion Sanders would be the most recognizable name to citizens of Mexico.
Sure.
As a football coach in the Big 12. So,
and actually, I mean, and you know this because you've lived there for so long, Denver's one of the oldest, you know, expat Mexican towns in the United States. Mm-hmm. It's been really Hispanic for a really long time,
yep,
too, right? So
yep,
that absolutely connection's already there. So it's not as though, you know, if you were to add Boulder to that league as though, it, you know, hey, we're going to Mexico, and they'd be like, what? No. Like, it's part of the old school cripes. I mean, I think until very recently, Denver was one of the largest per capita Hispanic populations in the country.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that seems like a natural extension as well. By the way, I got a problem with a texter, 437-968 jobs text line.
Uh-oh.
Texter, I drove out to Cropper to meet the Bucklers, and they gave me a free pack of their new bacon cheddar bratwurst. So here's my problem. Dan, have you had the bacon cheddar bratwurst?
No.
Yet?
No.
Oh, interesting. Because neither have I. Hmm. Interesting. So the listeners.
Wait a second. They gave it to him?
It's a little freebie, it sounds like, as part of the pack.
Phew. We got a nice text. We got a nice text from Nate yesterday that somebody had gone out and picked up some meat because they heard us talking about
it. Yeah, because we won't shut up about it, yeah.
No.
Well, guess what? I don't have any bacon cheddar brats, so I'm not going to talk about it until I have those. How about that?
Oh. Whoa. Well, you're close. I mean, they could even deliver. You know, they haven't come up.
I'm in the delivery area, yes.
Yeah, they haven't come up with a way to ship it to me yet. You know, I mean, they could probably figure it out if they really wanted to, but you're in the delivery area. You ought to have some brats, cheddar.
I agree.
Cheddar and bacon brats.
I think the other fun headline, a couple of NCAA headlines here, is they're going to try to change the block charge rule in men's basketball, to which I would say two things. If people don't know, it is the rule now will be you have to be in place before the offending player leaves the floor. So you have to be in position. It was for a long time that guys could slide into position to take a charge. And boy, it made a lot of 50-50 calls. And in college basketball, that means everything's a charge. And so the idea is now that you have to have your feet set prior to that kind of movement, to which I would say, great. And then I would also say, college officiating is so bad that I don't trust them.
You don't trust them to adhere to the new rules.
To get it correct, well, yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Louis, I've said for a long, long time, there are a lot of things that I love about college basketball over the NBA, but this is certainly not one of them. And you said it's a 50-50 call, and somehow they get it wrong 80% of the time. And I think this taking charges and being able, I mean, you're running alongside a player, and he lowers his shoulder to go to the basket. That can't be a charge. You can't charge a guy who's running alongside of you defending you. And I think that block charge call really, really takes away from the college game. You don't see it that often. I mean, I would guess, and I don't know how I would prove this, I would guess that block charge is called 80% more in college than it is in the NBA.
No question, yes.
Because in the NBA, you know, they always give the offensive player the, I mean, you've got to be there, you've got to be set, you've got to have your feet out of the circle. I mean, and you see very few charges called in the NBA because people don't want to attempt to set up a block because they know their call's going against them. And if this takes away from people trying to take a charge in college basketball and actually trying to guard somebody, then I'm all for it because I think it'll improve the college game immensely.
It'll be interesting to see if they can actually get the calls right. But, yes, on its face, it's a good move for the sport. Texter saying, Louie, you don't need any more bratwurst. How about you never text the show again? Yeah, there you go. How about that? And, yes, the texter confirming they got it for free. See, I got a problem with you bucklers now.
Oh, Nate and Emily, we can't give this stuff. This stuff's too good to give away. Come on now. Yeah, come on now.
A little problem now. Thought we were friends. Whatever. It's cool. Issel and Louie taking you to Loon. So I do hope that ends up working out because it is one of the most frustrating parts about watching college basketball is how much leeway the officials have in that call, for example. So just take it out of their hands. Do something else.
I agree. I think that'll help the game.
So as you look at this Big Ten football schedule, Dan, and see the LA schools in it, how much does it mess with your brain?
You know, a lot.
Me too.
Because I read the article, I very intently read the article, and still can't figure out what it says. I get that they're going to keep, 11 or 12 of the natural rivalries in place.
Right.
Like Michigan and Ohio State are going to play. You know, Iowa.
Indiana, Purdue.
Nebraska, Iowa, although I wasn't aware that was a big rivalry. But the rest of it, the flex part of it, I didn't understand it at all. And I went back and read it a second time and still didn't understand what they were saying.
Got it. Yeah. I think they're still trying to figure it out. I will say, though, that protected Maryland-Rutgers game.
Yeah. No, you want to see that one.
Look, when you talk about the history of college football.
One of the all-time greats.
I mean, just all-time rivalries.
It's Texas-Oklahoma.
It's Texas-Oklahoma.
It's Alabama,
it's Miami,
Auburn.
Florida State.
Florida State, absolutely.
Oh, man.
You couldn't do away
with Georgia,
that
It's Georgia-Florida.
One.
You cannot do away.
No.
With Rutgers and Maryland.
No. Not at all.
I mean, when you think football, you go to the Scarlet Knights. You go to the Terrapins. It's where you land. When you're like, okay, let's make a top five for the Heisman this fall. You start with Rutgers.
Terrapins.
You start with Rutgers. You understand me? You got to protect Rutgers.
No, I didn't get that one either. But Can you explain how this schedule is going to work out? Did you get it?
Essentially, you're going to play everybody, but you're going to play everybody every other year. This is one of the best things that's ever happened to Michigan State, by the way, because in their division, every single year was Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. This is going to break it up at least a little bit. And I will say, I mean, for all of the things we joke about, one of the best things about, you know, let's use Louisville for an example. Their schedule, like playing in Atlanta, that's good because that's where recruits are. You know, playing in Miami, that's good because that's where recruits are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So having those natural opponents is very good. Adding the LA market will be really interesting to see if more California kids end up playing in the Big Ten.
I think they'll wind up playing more for Southern Cal and UCLA because they're in the Big Ten.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, I suppose. I mean, you know, you can fly across country in 4 hours anymore. It's not that big a deal.
I mean, the flight to Chicago from LA is not hard to do, right?
No.
I mean, it just isn't. So
pretty
easy. And then you're on a bus for 2 hours and you're at five or six different
Right. I think United has a flight from Denver to Chicago every 2 hours.
That's
almost almost around the clock, so it's not hard. It's not hard.
I don't need any more brats. Get the hell out of here. That's all I need. Brats and Wisconsin and Minnesota football. That's all we need.
There you go.
Iowa, by the way, three protected rivalries. Did you notice that? Minnesota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. I would say Nebraska is the least of those three.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Do you think they stand on opposite sides of the stadium and one side says, "Your corn sucks," and then the other side goes, "No, your corn sucks"? Do you think they do that, Dan?
It could be. Yeah. Could be.
Yeah.
I know. I know. Nope. There's not. When they play in Nebraska, there's like 500, or not even that many. I was going to say 500, maybe 100 visiting. I mean, it's red all over the stadium. So.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and they already know their corn sucks, so. They're not enlightening anybody.
Did you see the, you know how last year Iowa couldn't score a touchdown?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the joke? You know how ever after every third quarter they wave to the kids in the Iowa Children's Hospital?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Which is a very nice tradition. And someone pointed out how rude it was to those kids to have to watch Iowa football last year. I think that's a pretty good joke.
That's
pretty
do
well
too.
Done. It's a little dark, but it's good.
That's
I like
right.
it.
Yeah. Oh, hey, call me to the window when they score.
I'm not waving to these bums. Some 8-year-old kid, he's like, I'm not doing that. It's 7-3 and no one scored a touchdown. I'm not doing that. Oh, man. Oh, do you remember that game? Early on, I think it was South Dakota State. It was 7-3 and no one scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Oh, Big Ten football. All this money, and they're just not going to do anything. It's so great.
I don't know what happened there because for years and years and years, Nebraska barely now for the town for the what do they call it the
well when Nebraska was great they weren't in the Big Ten
yeah but they were still playing teams as good as the Big Ten. They were playing Oklahoma and Texas,
Miami,
and skilled positions, they would recruit outside. But as far as offensive and defensive linemen, I mean, they were all Nebraska kids. I mean, that's what you just like kids in Kentucky grow up, you know, shooting on the hoop in the garage, thinking about playing for UK. You know, that's what they did in Nebraska. And I don't know what happened to that, but. It certainly has fallen through the cracks. They haven't been good for a while.
Edge rushers exist. There used to not be edge rushers. There used to just be four defensive linemen that would run into your O-line as hard as they could.
Yeah.
And now there are edge rushers, and so if you try to run the option, there's a guy standing in the backfield. That's what happened. But no, I mean, those teams were great. I mean, Colorado had a couple teams early 90s that were great, and then coach ended up being a fraud and whatever else. But yeah, no, it was a...
Whoa! Did you just call Bill McCartney a fraud?
Didn't he start Promise Keepers and then cheat on his wife?
No, he never cheated on his wife. What do you think? What are you thinking about? Coach McCartney is a great man. He's a stand-up guy.
No, Bill McCartney?
He didn't cheat on his wife.
Who am I thinking of in that group?
Well, his daughter had
prior
to
the 1993 Fiesta Bowl, McCartney confessed to his wife that he had committed adultery. I don't know. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
No, you're right then.
I thought that group was pretty well known for pretty high level hypocrisy, but I think the movement itself was obviously a reasonable one. But I think that, like a lot of those groups, you find out that the people at the top needed the movement because they had other issues. If that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, maybe so. But you can't convince me Bill McCartney's not a great
guy. I didn't say he was a bad guy.
Right. I guess maybe I suppressed that. All right. All right.
But you were there in the middle of all that, right?
Absolutely.
When those teams were on the run, Cordell Stewart, all those guys, right?
I was in Miami. I was in Miami when they played Notre Dame in what turned out to be the national championship game. I think the national championship was split that year, I think.
Was that 88?
Yeah, around in there somewhere. But Scott and Sheridan and Sherry's dad and I were in the Orange Bowl for that game. Yeah, and I'll never forget Scott. Rocket ran back a punt, and everybody was expecting. All they had to do was kick the ball out of bounds, and the game was over. And they kicked the ball to Rocket, and he ran it back for a touchdown. And Scott his shoulders went down, his head went down. I tapped him on the shoulder, and I pointed at the flag. Clipping, bring it back, and Colorado won the national championship. It was split.
So they won in 1990, and they beat Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl,
right,
on New Year's Day, 10-9. And
I think UPS, Associated Press,
Georgia Tech took the UPI title. Yeah. Washington and Miami both received national titles from other selectors. I was having this conversation around the office the other day about how we used to do the national title in college football. And it's hard to explain to people, and you grew up in Batavia, so you know this, that I didn't even think about the national title as part of college football when I was a kid. It was all about my team going to the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't even think about the national title, and it's such an interesting change because – you know, for example, my children, all they'll think about is the national title game. Like, all that, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. And Texter sending in Georgia Tech. Appreciate it. Yes, it was Georgia Tech. And I just never thought about it. And you know, I think people here, well, once you get into SEC country, they go, oh, bull spit. You were no, that's a Big Ten thing. It's not even an elitism thing. It's just you didn't. I think what the idea was is if you can win the Big Ten and go to the Rose Bowl, you've got a chance at the national title.
Yeah, yeah.
Like and that was built in. Like if you get out there and you beat Washington or you beat UCLA or whatever, like you've got a shot at the national title then.
Yeah, and growing up in Big Ten country, I mean, I'm sure it was different in Mississippi.
Sure.
But the Rose Bowl was the ultimate.
Right.
You know, getting to the Rose Bowl and because the Pac-12 had some really good teams, Southern Cal especially.
Oh, no question, yes.
Yeah, and so that when I was growing up and later, that was the game, the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. I think people forget, too, Gary Barnett was on that staff at Colorado. Like, they were loaded. Lots of influential football guys on that roster for sure, because Barnett went back after being at Northwestern. And really, I mean, frankly, taking Northwestern as the heights in football that they hadn't been in the 90s, went back to Colorado after that. So there you go. Won the Big Ten twice in 95, 96. I remember those teams like it was yesterday for some reason. But, yeah, he took them to the Rose Bowl. You think Gary Barnett has to pay for drinks in Evanston? You out of your mind?
I doubt it.
No. No way.
I doubt it.
No way. Oh, man. Do you know who their linebacker was, Dan?
Yeah, Pat Fitz.
Pat Fitzgerald, that's exactly right. There you go. We will talk about a $34 million ruby at some point today. We do have Belmont Stakes card to get into. Did you look at today's, Dan? Do you have today's?
I've already handicapped today's.
Okay, all right. So maybe we'll get an acorn pick from you. Are you playing the two-day pick six?
No.
Okay.
I don't like those two-day bets. I don't like having my money tied up for 2 days.
Well, good. Do you think the Heat's playing the Celtics tonight, Dan?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. 7:30 tonight, Heat and Nuggets on 93.9 and on the app, Reds Cardinals over on our side on 6080. 105.7 if you're driving around, 7:45. So both of those games will be on tonight as well. See if the Reds can keep it moving. Well, no, Dan. I got that Ellie De La Cruz guy now.
Yeah, Ellie had a hit last night. He's had a hit in all three of his games so far. He also struck out 3 times. So they might be able to figure out Ellie. The Cubs had a guy named Morrell come up and he hit 9 home runs in 15 games. I think he's already back at AAA.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. It just, I mean, it doesn't take long for these guys to figure out where the holes are.
Do you think if the Cubs gave up their pitching and the Reds gave up their offense and they made that a team, they would be a playoff team?
No. The Cubs are pitiful. I saw this on the show sheet, and I want to talk about this because I was so fed up. I was watching the Cubs, and I was so fed up with them, I switched over to the hockey game.
Oh.
And it had about 5 minutes to go. So you are obviously the hockey expert on this show, and so I have a couple of questions for you about what transpired last night.
First hour of the show brought to you by KentuckyTourism.com. Check out all of their stuff right now, especially if you are looking for something to do outdoors, all of the lakes in the state, all of the parks, all the trails, all the bourbon trails, the golf, any of the outdoor dining, any of the concerts that are going on. Check all of it out. Maybe you need to head down to Ellis Park. Check it all out at KentuckyTourism.com. On the other end, we talk hockey. We do it next.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.